Last thing I want to say is I just want to give you a little history how the Japa retreats developed, because what we're doing here is we want to give you like the essence of what we do at the Japa retreats, and we want to do it. It's a challenge for us to do it in an hour and a half, six times, because, you know, we're giving you what happened in 4.5 days from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. So it can't exactly be the same. But just let me tell you the history of it. Satchinandan Swami told us at a Japa retreat that he had a realization maybe 5-6 years ago about his chanting. And he confronted his chanting and he asked himself, have I actually ever chanted a real holy name once in my life? He just had to confront that. And he had doubts about it. Is he actually really chanting the holy name? So he took that to heart. He went on many Japa retreats of his own in Govardhan, spending the entire day chanting, not 64 rounds, not 75, not 85, not 95, not 105, a lot more, but he won't tell anybody how much more, but you can kind of figure if that's all you're doing all day, every day, you're going to be chanting a lot. So what happened was, the holy name was revealed to him in ways it was never revealed to before. Obviously, if you did that every day, you could imagine what would happen. And at that point, he became, I would say, concerned and also inspired to bring that out to the devotees. He was getting so much realization. He said, oh my God, this is what the holy name can do. I never realized that. We need to bring this to devotees. We need to facilitate this kind of experience. So he established workshops and retreats with the whole idea was to just facilitate that experience so other devotees could get the same experience that he was getting because he was so inspired by that. So that's basically how this evolved. He developed a blueprint to do that. Later on, I joined the team. We added to that blueprint. We went over it every time. We've done like 10, let's say 20 perhaps, and we've gone over it every time, and we actually saw the elements that were changing, that were really hitting devotees in the right way, what they really needed to go through. And after each workshop, we saw that devotees really opened up to the holy name in new ways, in different ways, and their lives would start to change in there. And I'll tell you a story, it was so funny. Not to criticize anybody, but just to give you an idea what happened. The year ago, we had a retreat in Georgia, the first Japa Level 1 retreat in Georgia. And one of the things we teach in the retreat is when you chant, you should really be focused, and it's actually better to sit down instead of walk around. And particularly, it's better to sit in a place where you won't be disturbed. We call the sacred space. And it's better not to look around and just to focus. And it's better to sit straight. We teach these things, right? So we had Radhastami. And Radhastami, everyone was there in the morning. And Radhastami came like 3 days after the Japa retreat. And we teach, you know, be very focused on your chanting. So I was walking around the temple chanting my rounds, and I was looking. And you know what happens during Japa after about an hour? What happens? The energy tends to slacken, you start talking, maybe take a little nap. So I was looking around, and after about an hour, like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of devotees were talking, and you know, this and that. And I was looking at all the devotees who'd been to the retreat. None of them were talking. They were all, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So it actually makes a difference what we do. You know, you get tools and you get realization. And you start to see when I chant in a certain way, it does make a difference. So it was really funny. I was watching. I was feeling proud of all you guys. Hari Dev was there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, now, tonight, our program is that we're going to speak on the theme of this workshop, and the theme is deepening our relationship with the holy name. And this is one of the most powerful themes that is taught. And why is it powerful? Well, Bhadahari is going to tell us why it's powerful. But we have a principle in our workshop that chanting is not just a process, it's a relationship. And I would even say further, it's not a process, it's a relationship. Say not just we call it a process, but really it's a relationship, it's not a process. And Bhadahari is going to enlighten us as to why it is a relationship, and also as to why if we relate to it as a process, it will be detrimental to our chanting.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you. Yeah, so this idea of a relationship, it's fundamental. It's said that a person, when they come to the stage of bhava, that they actually realize that the name and the person are the same. So someone may think, well, let me wait till bhava to think about that. But in answer to that question, I just wanted to read something to begin from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Where is it? Well, I'll read this. If we wish to attain any goal, we have to remain mindful of it while we are engaged in whatever achieves bringing it about. Even though it seems often that most of our attention must be used just to keep ourselves on course, somewhere in the back of our mind we have to remain aware of our destination. After all, reaching the destination is the only reason we have undertaken the journey. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from the very beginning of this practice, the devotee must adopt this concentrated attention, and he should be careful not to give it up because of distraction or inattention. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviating intelligence or concentration on their goal certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. So, yeah, the idea is that we're, of course, that's a fundamental principle, that the name and the person are non-different. We can't develop a relationship with someone in another place by calling their name, ordinarily. If your spouse is in Arizona, you can't deepen your relationship by calling their name from Florida. So that's what we're saying, that Krishna, Radharani, not only those two, but all of their associates, Srila Prabhupada, it's a relationship not only with Radha and Krishna, but with all of their associates. And that's our focus while we're chanting. As I say, this has to be our premise. And if we chant with this in mind, actually we get reciprocation. If we think that, well, Krishna's not here, or I'm just chanting some names, then there's no possibility of reciprocation. So in a relation, so if we're thinking of this as a relationship with Radha and Krishna, then attentiveness comes in. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about attentiveness as being the principal offense against the holy name. And if you think about, just like if you have I don't know if you've had this experience of being with someone even all day long, but their mind is somewhere else. So, or like I call my daughter up sometimes on the phone, and if she calls me, it's fine. We can have a talk. But if I call her and she's doing something else, then she's on the internet or she's doing something, and I'm talking and she's, yeah, right. What was that? What did you say again? So we're talking, we're together, but there's no relationship. So these are all kind of points that we'll cover more in over the period. But the idea is that attention is such an important point in a relationship. If someone tries to relate to you and you don't reciprocate with them, then the relationship immediately breaks down. There's nothing that can happen. So the first idea is that when I'm sitting down to chant, it's not some names, it's not a mantra, it's not about a technique. It's about, now is my time to be with Krishna. And Krishna is personally present in his holy name. So that awareness makes it transforms the process. Now the second point I wanted to make on that is that where it's not a new relationship. We may think, well, I took up spiritual life at such and such a time and I'm doing this and this and this. But actually we know that we had a relationship with Krishna, and that it's I just want to stop and say this isn't usually something, this is for experienced chanters. Because usually we say chant and be happy. But actually our situation is kind of like, say a man leaves his wife and then comes home after 10 years and says, honey, I'm home. Right? Now there's, you know, you're not going to be just able to take up where you left off. Right? You've got to re-establish the relationship, the trust has to be re-established. And that's our situation. And we see that we have issues with Krishna. We have issues in our relationship. This is practical, and we can see this in the world, how the world is full of jealousy, envy, and so on and so forth. And these all reflect our primal relationship. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually I think it was Rupa Goswami, was saying that, Krishna, you say that whenever your devotees glorify you, that you're there. But I think you're not telling the truth. Because I see your devotees are sincerely chanting, and sometimes you're not there. And so the response was that, no, I am there, but sometimes I remain hidden and observe them. So we have to have that confidence that Krishna is there and he is observing us. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made this point. I thought it was very beautiful that we want to see Krishna. We want to be with Krishna. Or maybe we don't. That we have to see. But we're in any event, we're chanting, and our expressed intention is to develop our love for Krishna, to develop our relationship with Krishna. That's what we're here for. But Krishna doesn't appear. So then what happens? Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, then when Krishna doesn't appear, we're left alone, and the purpose is to examine our heart. Because if it's just like that. If you're with someone and then you're not there, then it's like, oh, what's going on? So this is part of our dynamic relationship with Krishna. When we become attentive in the process, when we actually want Krishna's company, then the light gets turned on. What's going on inside? And we actually look, how am I really feeling? How do I really feel towards Krishna? I'm chanting Radha and Krishna's holy names. How do I really feel? What's going on? What are my attitudes? What are my emotions around this? What's coming in the way? Ravindra Sarup Prabhu told, you've probably all heard this, but perhaps not. And he said that at a certain point, like many other devotees, he became very, very determined to improve the quality of his japa and to really chant attentively. I just wanted to say one more word about it begins with the determination to become attentive. And it takes determination, because usually we don't have that habit. We're chanting, but we're, you know, perhaps planning the day, or and that can really go on. It's a kind of a schizophrenic thing when you think about it. You know, ostensibly we're chanting, but you know, we're our mind and heart. You know, one thing is to bring the mind. The second thing is to bring the heart. That's the idea of alignment, which we'll speak about. But so if those,
can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
After you leave, 90% of what he said you'll forget in the next 2 or 3 days if you don't write it down. So if you find anything worth remembering. Of course, I could sell you the recording at $100 a CD, but it's cheaper to write it down. So just, if you find anything useful.
Yeah, so.
Peter Berwash said, what did Peter Berwash say,
Harinam? Something like, even the most intelligent person, when they did tests, by the next day 70% was gone. They said, what about the rest of us?
Yeah, 70% is lost for the most intelligent. What about the rest of us? If you need paper and pen, just raise your hand. There's so, one here.
So this the determination to be, you know, I'm with Krishna now. Let me be attentive. It's like my wife's complaint for years was with me was, you're just not present. I don't know if any other husbands have heard a comment like that.
You're the only one, yeah.
Huh? You're the only one.
I'm the only one. Okay. And it took me the longest time to figure out what she was talking about, frankly. I finally think I did, sort of. You can ask her. But anyway, so that determination to be present with whatever comes, too, because it's not always pleasant. So Ravindra Sarupa was telling this wonderful story, and many devotees have had similar experiences, that he made a determination to really focus on his chanting. And at a certain point, he noticed that he was chanting and feeling very unhappy. This profound kind of sadness came over him. And he didn't know what to, this was many years ago, he didn't know who to talk to about it, because you know, our philosophy is chant and be happy. Not chant and be sad. So this was happening to him each day, and he was but he was determined, let me work through this. And at a certain point it came to him that he was realizing that he had left Krishna. This realization came. Krishna, which is all of our situation. So, during the course of our developing our relationship with Krishna, you know, this is something that we have to deal with within ourselves. Why did I leave Krishna? Why am I here? And but that's the beautiful thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a beautiful thing. And he realized that. You know, at first he was thinking, well, I'm all alone. Nobody's ever experienced this. And he started reading the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they're all full of these such statements and how he's feeling. And so that is, and that's how humility, the true humility of the Vaishnava develops, is in contact with Krishna. So those are That's 2 points. One thing is that it is a relationship, and that we're also in the process of mending our relationship. It's like sometimes two people have a marriage counselor or something like that, and they get together, and the marriage counselor says, "Well, you're at fault here, but you're at fault here. But in this case, Krishna's not at fault." It's the onus is on us. And at the same time, Krishna is observing all of our activities, and he's very kind. He wants us to come back to him, but he's working with us in such a way. He's sending us things within our day, within our life, within our relationships. He's sending us things that correct us, that jolt us. Those are all part of our relationship with Krishna. The things that happen to us in our life, whether horrible or great, those are all part of our relationship with Krishna. Krishna is not, he didn't notice that. So, these, as we chant with attention and just focus on our relationship with Krishna, then these, it's a new world. How am I doing here?
Yeah?
Okay.
The last point?
Yeah. I'm trying to fit about an hour's worth of stuff in a few minutes. Yeah. So the last point is that Krishna wants to help us. Or sometimes the idea is it is a relationship. So when we're sitting down to chant, it's not about, you know, our power over, you know, our mind and body exactly. You know, that, okay, you know, I'm going to do all the right techniques and I'm going to chant. And it's not exactly like that, although we may speak about techniques. But at the same time, Krishna is there. As I mentioned, that when we're chanting Krishna's name, Krishna's present, Radharani's present, the whole spiritual world is present. Srila Prabhupada taught us, even from day one, that we're calling on, you know, O Radha, O Krishna, please, you know, we're calling on them. So we're not chanting on our own strength. We actually can't chant on our own strength. It's not that when we say Hare, that, you know, that Hare Krishna appears as a result of my making certain sounds. The holy name doesn't appear just by our speaking, but actually the holy name appears by his sweet will. So, and I've had this experience some mornings, just feeling like, well, I'm really exhausted this morning. I won't be able to chant very well. I'm really tired. But Krishna, please help. And of course, it doesn't always happen like this. Krishna's independent. It's not a formula. But I've had this experience that sometimes those were my best rounds. Because I felt helpless to actually do it. And I felt that Krishna was coming to my aid and chanting for me, so to speak. So this is our life. This is our life's work, really. As Srila Prabhupada said, the most important instruction of the spiritual master is this order to chant 16 rounds. And he said about himself that he didn't have any knowledge, in his humility, that he didn't have knowledge or devotion, but he had firm faith in the holy name. And clearly his vision for us and for the world. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was, he was asked that, you know, we're asking you so many questions now, but who will we ask after you're gone? And his response was, don't you know that Krishna is none different from his holy name? This was his response. So, clearly Prabhupada gave us Krishna in the form of his holy name. He introduced us. And he wanted us to develop that relationship. It is a relationship. He made it very clear. And by entering into that relationship, as part of our daily practice, then, you know, then everything will unfold spiritually. It's the essence of everything we do. Of course, we want to do so many things. We want to accomplish so many things. But the essence is our relationship. So the idea is to each day sit down for an hour or two with Krishna and develop that relationship. It's worth the effort. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Padahari Prabhu Ki Jai. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever said in your life, I have to do my japa? Mm-hmm. I have to chant my japa?
Yes.
Everybody. Can I change your vocabulary? This is your meditation for this week. And please write this down. It's not my japa. It's whose japa?
Our japa.
This meditation is extremely powerful. Because my japa denotes that it's possible that Krishna is not there because I'm doing my japa. But with our japa, Krishna is there because it's not just me. That's a very powerful meditation. I have used this, and all I can say is the results I got are incredible. And I give you 100% money back guarantee on this. I've had some amazing experiences with this. I don't want to describe them because I'll sound proud. Maybe you'll even think I'm a sahajiya, but this is a powerful meditation. I wanted to just add to a few things that Badahari was saying. A realization that I had about this idea of seeing chanting as a process, there is a really big problem with that. And the problem is, if it's a process, it's only you who suffers if you don't do the process well. It's not about Krishna or relationship, it's about a process. Interesting, isn't it? The way words change word to chanting as a relationship from process. Yeah, I'm doing the process. I had a bad day. Just a bad day in the process. I was supposed to practice piano. I didn't do it right. It was a bad day on the piano. It's just a process. It's nothing to do with the relationship. I want to ask you a question. It will help understand. This sign says, Krishna doesn't have everything. Whoa, I never read that in Prabhupada's books. What's wrong with Mahatma? What doesn't Krishna have? There's something he doesn't have.
Devotion.
Doesn't have our devotion. Or, we can say more, he has everything but our hearts or our love. Isn't it? That's the one thing. And Krishna wants that. In our retreats, devotees often go through an experience where they don't feel that there's any reason that Krishna would have any interest in them. And Garuda explains so nicely, and Rabindra Sarupa explains so nicely, that it's not possible for Krishna not to love us. It's impossible for him, just as it's impossible for a parent not to love their kid. It's impossible for Osama bin Laden's mother not to love him, no matter what he does. It's just the way it is. Krishna cannot not love us. So Krishna wants our heart. So now we're chanting bad japa. Put Krishna in there. What is he thinking? I want you, what did Prabhupada say? I want you to go back to God. Krishna wants us back how many times more than we?
10?
100? Was it? Who knows? At least 10, I would say. I was told, I think, 100. Probably, you know, much more than that.
I think he said you take one step.
Yeah, he takes 10. I guess it depends how much we want to go. Then you have to do the math. You know, if you want to go more, it's 100. And if you want to go less, it's 1,000. But Krishna, taking that idea that Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead more than we do. So think of this meditation of our japa. I'm chanting and I'm not doing well. So now I'm depriving Krishna of the purification I need to go back to him because he's waiting for me to go back to him. If you read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Gopakumar goes back to Krishna, he says, I'm waiting for you. I was waiting for you to come, but I couldn't break the rules. You had to go through the process, and I got so anxious, I broke the rules for you. So Krishna's waiting, and I think the holy name is when Mahaprabhu broke the rules. So we're chanting. How does Krishna feel about our bad chanting? You think he doesn't feel anything? There's something going on. There's a relationship. So if you take the concept of our japa, that Krishna's waiting for me, Krishna wants me to come purified. He doesn't want me to wait another 10 lives. He would like me to come. Don't you think Krishna would want us to all go back to Godhead in this life? You think he's up there going, "Nah, Mukunda, I don't like you. You said that nasty thing yesterday." And we're all thinking, "Yeah, I knew it. Krishna definitely doesn't like me." It's not true. Krishna cannot not like us. He wants our heart. That's the only thing he doesn't have. That's what he wants. So that's one concept. Badahari talked about attention. My experience is if you chant our japa, if you chant as if Krishna's sitting there with you in his name listening, you don't even have to worry about controlling your mind. It's automatically controlled. It's amazing how easy it is. All right, I'll reveal what I do because I'm so puffed up. This is one of the things I do because I feel that Krishna's there. I have a desire to teach this to non-devotees. So sometimes when I chant japa, I imagine myself on a stage teaching this to 1,000 people. And Krishna's sitting like, "Okay, Krishna, this is what I want to do. Are you ready?" "I'm ready. Can we do it together?" I feel this togetherness of empowerment. Like, "Krishna, I'm chanting, Hare Krishna, I'm ready. Please empower me. This is what I want to do." Or a desire I have, "Krishna, this is my heart. Please." You know. So it's very easy to control the mind that way because you're conscious that Krishna's there. And you're going to imagine 16 rounds like that. It's really amazing. This is a statement from Rabindra Sarupa about attention. Can somebody read that for me, loud and clear? You can't see it?
Within attention are the seeds of attraction.
Hmm. Within attention are the seeds of attraction. You know, sometimes devotees ask, "Well, am I just supposed to hear? And if I just hear, what's going to happen if I just hear?" So you focus on Krishna, what's going to happen? Attraction's going to come. That's the process. So by bringing more consciousness of Krishna, within attention are the seeds of attraction. By bringing consciousness into your chanting, attraction comes. Here's my barometer for a good japa day. When you finish your last round, it is extremely painful to put your bead back down. You have to go to work, you have to go to school, you have to do something. You don't want to put it down. That's when you know you're at a good japa day. Anything else, it's substandard. Why? Because what did Prabhupada say? He was asked, what do you get by chanting? And Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? What do you get by chanting?
Chanting.
You get more chanting. There's a problem with that. What do you get by bad chanting? More what? Bad chanting. That's the problem. When we chant poorly, when we don't chant in relationship, then what happens when you get to your 16th round? Relief. And put my beads down and get on to surfing the internet and doing other interesting things. It's a perpetual habit. So when you get in the right mode, you get this domino reaction. You have a good day of japa. The next day is good. It gets easier. You come to that point where this is really nice. I actually like to do this. So this meditation, this is our focus for the coming week. When you go home this week, it's our japa. And you're going to have a buddy. And this is one of the questions your buddy's going to ask you and you're going to ask your buddy. How are you doing with our japa? How are we doing with our japa? And so you're gonna monitor this. And if you do this well, you're gonna have a really good week this week. I promise. We did a little exercise at the last retreat, and I told everybody start chanting. And then I said, okay, if you were chosen to go to an event in which a mystic was going to analyze how effective meditation is. And there were all kinds of meditators chanting mantras, and you were chosen by the Hare Krishna movement to be that. And he could see mystically, you know, I got to chant really good rounds here because they're going to you know? And the devotees were sitting, you know, I just had him sit. I said, okay, we're going to do that. And you see the whole room went, mmm. They went from like, mmm. So, you know, look in terms of effort. What's your effort, you know? This effort is different than this effort. And a lot of times we see devotees with this effort. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Have you ever seen that? Krishna, Krishna. That's not a lot of effort. That's about a two effort, two and a half, isn't it? Hare Krishna. What about concentration? How much effort do you make to concentrate? If you make 50% effort, that probably means half the time you're chanting, your mind is wandering. If you made 100% effort, that means 100% of the time you're focused on the mantra. What about detachment, inspiration, results of chanting? So, yes, we just want you to look at these things, come up with a number. Question?
I was just going to say, what if you have bad knees and ankles?
Yeah, that's all right. Sit in a chair and sit up. You know, I mean, effort is, you know, we talk a lot about posture, but, you know, when effort is there, posture becomes. So, just come up with a number on a scale of 1 to 10. And number 1 is, you get your hand in your bag, but you can't chant that first mantra and you put your bag down.
Okay, this is an average?
Yeah, you know, average of the last few months.
Yeah, some days we have
a number, you know, if you finish your rounds and you're just like, wow, this is the best thing that ever happened to me, I could chant all day, you're up there like a 9. Yeah, I'll just do 64 rounds today, what the heck, you know, I'll call in sick. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then you're up there like 9 or 10. So pick a number, whatever it is. Write it down in your book. And we won't broadcast your number to the world. This is confidential. It's just for you. And if you want to reveal it to your body, you can. And then I would like you to ask you a question. Why is it at that number? What's the reason? If it's at a 10, then your reason is I get up every day at 2 o'clock, I chant 64 rounds, I listen to every word, I give 100% of my energy. If it's at a 1, it means I'm not putting any effort, I'm apathetic. You know, so you just want to analyze why, because these are the things you're going to have to deal with. If it's over a 5, write down, you're doing something right. Write it down. And what could you do to get it better?
Does anybody need any more paper? I have. Raise your hand and pass out.
You want to notice what things are getting in the way. I stay up late at night. I eat late at night. I watch TV at night. What's getting in the way of it? Why it's at that number? What are you doing? Maybe I'm chanting too much while I drive. Maybe you know, I do my gardening while I chant. I should really just be focused. What's getting in the way of good japa? I don't do it in the morning. Whatever it is. I talk to people while I chant. Just make a list of things that you're doing right, you're doing wrong. Why it's at that number.
And to do a list of right and wrong folks?
Well, yeah. You can do what if your number depends on your number. If your number is at a 2, you wouldn't really be doing anything that well. So if it's, you know, it's under, if it's over, it's 5 or over, you're, you know, or 4, you know, you're probably doing something good. We'll give yourself some credit. And then after you do this, choose a number you want to shoot for this week, which is hopefully higher than the number, not lower. Shoot for a number this week, and write down what you have to do, what you're going to need to do to get to that number. And this is important because these are the questions your buddy's going to ask you. Did you do these things? I want to finish my rounds at this time. I want to get up this time. I'm not going to chant while I water the plants. I'm going to chant if I'm... Whatever it is. I'm going to chant 8 rounds before I go to work. Whatever it is you need to do, write it down. These are going to form the... These are the questions your buddy's going to have to ask you. Did you do those things?
Well, he's not saying we shouldn't chant while watering plants, or right?
That's your decision. Depends on what level you want to get your japa to.
I mean, you don't consider that japa. You chant. You're allowed to chant here.
Well, we'll talk about that later. You decide now what.
You pick
your number. Yeah, I always say, Kirtaniya Sadhari after the 16 rounds. And during the 16 rounds, focus. So pick your number, what you have to do to get to that number. Pick some things. And then write those on a separate piece of paper in the form of questions and give that to your buddy. So in other words, if you said, to improve my japa, I need to get up at 5 o'clock. The question is, did you get up at 5? To improve my japa, I need to finish a certain number of rounds by this time. Did you? To improve my japa, I'm going to avoid chanting in the car. Did you avoid chanting in the car? Just whatever. These are the things to improve, and you want your buddy to ask you, so you know the Grim Reaper is going to call you every night and ask me questions. But you're making up the questions. This is what you want to do. This is what you realize you need to do to improve. Allow me to make a suggestion that you may want to consider seriously to put on this list. Don't think about what you have to do during the day while you chant. And the question would be, did you think about what you had to do during the day while you're chanting? If you just get over that, you're practically going to hit your number. If you just do that, that's like 90% of it.
What do you do when you chant and you have a thought like it's something that you really need to remember to do that?
We'll talk about it later. There are things to do. For lack of a better answer right now, because it would take me too long to explain it, stop and write it down. Although I don't do that anymore. I used to recommend that, but there's a way to get around it. Should I briefly tell you how? Just make a determination you're not going to do that. You create an internal space. In that space, your day doesn't come till you stop chanting. Your day is not allowed in that internal space. You make that determination. It's not easy. It's taken me 8 japa retreats to do it, and I still struggle with it, but that's my determination. My day is not allowed in my japa world. It just doesn't come. Because it destroys it. It destroys good japa. That's why I say, if you can just get your day out of your japa, you're like 90%. Yes?
By our japa, that meditation you're referring to, our japa, mine and Krishna's.
Yeah, and you're together. And you're together. So don't forget, this is also a thing your buddy is going to ask you. It's going to be on your list. All buddies, remember to ask your partner, how are we doing in our japa? Because that's the meditation for this week, relationship. So how are we doing in the relationship?